love that line, "This is all my righteousness. My righteousness has nothing to do with me and everything to do with Him." I praise the Lord for that song. So we will now go ahead and get right into the message. If you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we will be in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. When you find your place, I'd ask you please stand in reverence to the holy word of God. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And I want to preach tonight briefly on the model church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for this great day you blessed us with. Thank you for the service that we had this morning. Thank you for your word and how it spoke to our hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us again. Help us to see this church and your word that you commended through Paul. And I pray you'd help us to learn from them, learn from your word, and help us to become an even better church. I thank you, Lord, what we have here is wonderful, but I believe, Lord, it can be even better. So I pray that you would open our ears to hear what you have to say tonight. I pray you would fill me with your spirit and help me to rightly divide your word. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me to get out of the way and that you would preach through me tonight. And I pray that I wouldn't try to showcase any talent, but that I would just preach the truth of your word. And I pray that you would work through the truth of your word and speak to hearts and change lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here tonight in the text before us, Paul here is writing to the church in Thessalonica. Paul, he had established this church in Thessalonica. He had started it there. We see here at the end of the chapter that this is a church of people that are Gentiles, we believe. And this was a great church, but Paul had to leave kind of fairly quickly due to his life being in danger. And he is now writing, he was worried about them, thinking about them, so he sent Timothy to them. Timothy, after coming to the church in Thessalonica, he came back to Paul with a great report of how wonderful this church was doing by God's grace, which motivated Paul to write this letter to them to encourage them. And we're not going to really deal with it tonight, but throughout this book, he answers some questions they had as well. But we see here in chapter number 1, as Paul begins this letter, you can tell by the way Paul begins his letter that he is going to encourage and commend this people, because it's so nice and encouraging and joy-filled. And then you can tell the difference when you read the beginning of 1 Corinthians and Paul's coming in hot. This is a good church that we have before us. This is a model church I believe we have before us, a church I believe that we can learn from. And one thing I want to encourage us tonight as we go through this text, we're going to see a lot of things in this church that we have here. And I want that to encourage us. And I want that to cause us to praise God for that. But I want this message also to help us to realize we can do more. We can be better. We can be a model church. And I don't want us to be a model church in the sense to where when people look at us, we can say, yeah, we're Mountain City Baptist. No, I want us to be a model church so that we can glorify our Lord. Because the model church is focused on winning souls to Jesus. And that's what I want us to be about as well. So let's learn from them tonight as we go through this text. Well, I want to look first at when you think of the model church, obviously the pastor has a responsibility. The pastor is who Paul, I believe, deals with first, is who I'm going to deal with first tonight. As we look at the pastor and his role in having a model church, the first thing the pastor does, as we see in this passage of Scripture, is prays for his people. Verse number 2, we'll begin in verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, so this is who all is kind of, I guess, was there serving with him, specifically Paul and Silas as well, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So we see here it says, we give thanks to God for you all. So Paul, Timothy, and Silas, or Silvanus I see here, are praying for this church. And I believe if a church is going to be a model church, that the pastor needs to pray for his people. And I believe that we have been blessed in Pastor Daniel. What an example he has set for me, praying for his people, for the people of this church. I mean, to hear him talk about all of you and the things he's been praying for you about and how much he cares for you, it challenges my heart. It challenges me to be like him, or even better, for the glory of God, to pray for you. Because God, in his mercy and grace, has given me the opportunity to be your pastor here in a couple weeks. And Pastor Daniel, man, has had a wonderful example, set a wonderful example for me. And I believe he has a burden for you, and I have a burden for you. And it challenges me to pray for you more and better every time I talk to Pastor Daniel and I read scriptures such as this. We see here, I want to point out also what the focus of Paul's prayer was. Now, I believe Paul prayed for their sicknesses and their hurts and everything that he knew anyways, because I know he was a ways off. But Paul had a very specific, I believe, and very powerful prayer for the people of this church and every church that he came into contact with. And we see this in Ephesians 15, 1, 15 through 19. There's not an Ephesians 15. Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. The Bible says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and here's his prayer, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul was praying for the people of the churches to have a better knowledge, a better understanding of our Lord. And there's more here to that, and we'll go through that as well. But that is a great prayer. If our lives are going to be changed, if we're going to be motivated to serve God more and to do more for God and to love God more, we've got to better understand God. Because I can only speak for me, but as my understanding of our Lord has grown, my love for Him has grown, my understanding of who I am has, I've begun to realize that I am nothing and He is everything, that's a wonderful prayer to pray. And that is my prayer for you. And I know that's Pastor Daniel's prayer for you as well. That your eyes, and it goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the work of His mighty power. What a prayer. He wanted them to know God better. He wanted them to be like Job and be able to say, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He wanted them to know God, really know God, and to see His power and to see Him work. And I believe that has been Pastor Daniel's prayer, and that is my prayer as well, that God, that you would be able to develop this relationship with God and understanding of Him and His Word and His greatness and His power. So we see here the pastor in a model church prays for his people. But not only does he pray for his people, but the next one seems obvious, but sadly in a lot of churches this doesn't happen, but he preaches the gospel. As we walk down the text, verse number 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So we see here, Paul and Silas and Timothy had preached the good news of the gospel to these people. If I'm going to be of any use to you at all, I've got to pray for you, but I've got to preach the gospel to you. The gospel not only is the power of God unto salvation to get you saved, but the gospel is how we live. We've got to cling to the good news of the gospel of Christ every single day, because that's the only way we can do anything for the Lord, is by the power of the gospel. And a true man of God will preach the good news of the gospel to his people. And you're like, duh, why are you even saying that? But many churches today, the gospel is not being preached. Many churches today, they're just trying to put on a show and trying to have a motivational speech, trying to just make people laugh and to make them feel good, but they're not preaching the good news of what the Bible says that Jesus did for us. And I think a big reason, part of that, may be because to preach the gospel, you've got to tell people they're sinners and on their way to hell. And that's not fun. But God called me to preach the whole gospel. Not part of it, but all of it. And so the preacher prays for his people. He preaches the gospel. And thirdly, he sets the precedent for his people. He leads by example. And may God help me to do as Pastor Daniel has done. What a great example he has set. What a great example Paul, Silas, Timothy set. The Bible says, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us. He said, you know how we acted in your midst. That Paul and these men led by example. And I have got to, and Pastor Daniel has, and will continue to, I'm sure, lead by example. And then Paul led by example so much so that in 1 Corinthians 11:1 he said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And may God help me to be that way. May God help me to say, follow me, and as you follow me, I'll lead you to Christ. Because the pastor, there's a very high standard for the pastor. We see in 1 Timothy 3:1-7, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, nor not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know how to rule his own house, if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. See, there's a high standard for a pastor. Now, there's a high standard for children of God, I mean. But for the pastor, it's even higher. The pastor should set the precedent. I praise God, we've got a pastor that has done that. And he set an example for me to do that. And I praise God for that. So the pastor prays for his people, preaches the gospel, sets the precedent. So that is the pastor and what he should do for his people. Now, obviously, that's not an exhaustive list, but that's what we have in the text before us. But not only should he do that, now we go from the pastor to the people of the church. And as we think of the people of the church, we see here in these people, people that have done what they should do in regards to serving the Lord. We see first, the people of the church in a model church prove their faith with fruit. They prove their faith with fruit. We see in verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So we see here it says work of faith. That word phrase, work of faith, means the working reality of one's faith. They prove their faith by action. You knew these people were saved not because they told you, but because they lived it. And we're going to see in a minute, they probably already shared the gospel with you at the time. They proved their faith. And we see here, how did they do it? It says work of faith and labor of love. They did it with passion, with love, with the right spirit. Just like it says in 1 Corinthians 13. You don't have to go there. I'm going to go there though. 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So he says there, if you don't have love, you're not doing it the right way. But this model church, they lived out their faith. They proved their faith with fruit, and they did it with passion. They did it with love in their hearts, as we should in everything that we do. If we do all the things we're about to do in the coming weeks, I mean, it's a good thing that we do it. But if we want God to bless it, we're going to have to do it with love in our hearts for Him and for the people that we are coming into contact with and preaching the gospel to. So it says, in labor of love, they did it with passion and patience of hope. They did it with patience. They did it with endurance. They did it with faithfulness. They proved their faith by working it out, by living their faith in love, and they did it faithfully. Like I said a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week, faithfulness is long obedience in the same direction. That's how you prove your faith, by consistently being faithful to God. So, in a model church, the people of the church proved their faith with fruit. And these people did it with passion and with patience. James 2:18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's the way our life, we should be. We demonstrate our faith by our works. Our works do not save us, but our works show the world that we are saved. See, the world doesn't see our hearts. The world sees our faith by us living it out before them. And this model church did just that. But not only did they prove their faith with fruit, but they persevered through persecution. You see, this church was in Thessalonica was the capital city of Rome. And just like you would think today, when you think of a capital city, go to a big city. Go, just the first one popped into my head, where Pastor Daniel is currently, maybe even listening to the message right now. He is in Atlanta. Atlanta is a big city. Atlanta is a wicked city. And just like about any big city you can think of today. And Thessalonica was no different. God had done a work in these people's hearts. God had done a work in this church. But as you know, the Bible says, yea, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. These people were living for God. The point we just talked about, proved their faith with fruit. They did that in a city filled with idolatry and filled with wickedness. And they continued, they were faithful through the persecution that they withstood, that they went through. You see, if we were to, we have to admit, we really haven't really suffered much persecution yet. But I believe at some point we will. If the Lord tarries His coming, we will suffer persecution. It may be severe, it may not be, but we will. And because the Bible says we will. But may God help us to be like this model church and press on through persecution for the glory of God. It says in verse 6 and 7, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They say, you received this and you You received it through suffering. You received it through persecution. You received it through hard times, so that ye were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, next chapter over, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." And then chapter 3:2-5. "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto," appointed to affliction. That is contrary to a lot of what the false teachers are saying today, that if you get saved, everything's going to be okay. But sometimes it is part of God's plan for us to suffer persecution, to suffer affliction. And the Bible says if we persevere through it, that it will grow us and make us better children of God. Verse 4, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I would no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." See, that's another reason why Paul sent Timothy. He knew the temptation, he knew the persecution that they were going through, and he was worried about them. So he sent Timothy to check on them. Can you imagine that? The Apostle Paul, having established a church, you know it had to be fire when he left. But he also knew the persecution that was coming, or maybe that they were already enduring. And I'm sure he was worried and afraid that they had given up the faith, turned their back, and ran away. But can you imagine when Timothy came back and knocked on his door one day and said, "Hey, you know that church that's under such suffering and persecution right now? They're still being faithful. They're still loving God. They're still serving God. May God help that to be our testimony. We're going to suffer one day. And may God help us on the back end of it to say that we stayed true to God. We were faithful to Him. We pressed on through the persecution." And one question you may ask, well, how did they endure persecution and not give up? Well, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, in this same chapter, "And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." They had an enduring hope in Jesus. They believed that since He did what He said He would do in saving them, that He would do what He said He would do and either remove the persecution or take them home to glory one day or come back to get them in the rapture. They knew that they had a hope past this life. And that helped them to press on. And we'll look more at that here in a minute. So we see the model church proves their faith with fruit. They persevere through persecution. And we see next, they proclaim the gospel everywhere they go. And this is yet another part of this passage where I immediately thought of Mountain City Baptist Church. We are full of people that love to go out and sow in and tell people about Jesus. And not just like going out visiting with the church. I know people in this church that's just kind of their thing. Every once in a while they'll go out, they'll knock on doors. They'll invite people to church. They'll tell people about Jesus. We've got a church that we love to pass out Bible tracts. We love to just pick up conversation and invite people to church, share the good news of the gospel. I know Miss Doris a while back had a flat tire. She shared the gospel with the guy who was fixing her tire for her. I mean, that is this church. And that was this church. And when I read that so encouraged me, because sadly, most churches today are not like that. They are not. We've got something special here, and we need to protect it. We need to pray God put a hedge about it, and we need to grow it. Like it says in 1 Corinthians, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We don't need to be complacent, but we need to continue to grow. We see in verses 8 and 9 their testimony that they always shared the gospel. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. They say everywhere we've went, people have heard what God's doing in your life. They've heard about your faith. And I'm sure that also means they've heard the good news of the gospel. So much so, look what it says. So that we need not speak anything. Paul said, "You preach for me." He said, we're going place to place thinking we're going to have to share the good news of the gospel with them and preach to them. But he said, "You've already done it. which was a great testament to their faith. And remember, they're doing this in the midst of persecution. What a challenge. Right now, compared to what they're going through, we've got it good. So may God help us to take advantage of that and serve Him and share the good news so that when persecution comes, we'll just press on right through it. So we see they proclaim the gospel everywhere they go. Verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He said, I don't have to say anything about about my preaching to you. It's like your life says it all. And I believe we've got a church that shows what kind of preaching it has heard. And I praise God for that. So we see the model church, the people prove their faith with fruit, persevere through persecution, proclaim the gospel everywhere they go. And finally, we see they have a proper perspective. And I believe this is kind of what fueled them all the way through. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. We see in verses 9 and 10, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. See, they were focused on the return of the Lord. If you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would that change what you did tomorrow? I believe it would change how we live. And I believe the church of Thessalonica every day, I mean, I don't know for sure, but from what the Word of God says, their focus was on the return of the Lord. And actually throughout this passage, out this book, Paul addresses some questions they had in regards to that. These people were focused on God's return. They knew they were suffering for Him. They were pressing through that persecution. But what empowered them, encouraged them to press through it, was the fact that they knew that they had a hope that they were going to go to heaven to be with their Lord one day. See, when you focus on His return, when you think every morning when you get up, the Lord could return today, that'll change the way you think, the way you talk, the way you act, what you do. It will help you to have the proper perspective. And I believe when we think that way, that we'll do what God wants us to do that day instead of what we want to do. You say, well, why can't I do what I want to do? Well, you can, but the Bible says we're not ours, we're His. We've been bought with a price, and we should surrender to His will. And when we are focused on His return, I believe it will motivate us to do so. So we see here in this passage of Scripture a model church. And we see it goes from the pastor to the people. The pastor prays for his people, preaches the gospel, sets the precedent. Then we see the people prove their faith with fruit, persevere through persecution, proclaim the gospel everywhere they go, and have a proper perspective. And may God help us. As it says there, they were in samples. They were examples. May God help us to learn from their example. I praise God. I'm a part of a church that we see a lot of what's in this passage of Scripture in this place tonight. But we can always do better. We can continue to always abound, always grow in the work of the Lord. God's done great things and He wants to do even greater. May God help us to be faithful. May God help us to do what we did this morning. Seek His power, His presence. And help us to serve Him with love. And help us to serve Him faithfully. And man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity to preach Your Word tonight. I pray, Lord, You would speak now in this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As Miss Anna comes to play tonight, the altar's open. Maybe you want to come to this altar tonight.